This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's time for the Almost Famous Podcast. I am in Nashville, Tennessee. I just arrived about 10 minutes ago. Getting ready now for my wedding this Saturday. Yes, I said last week I didn't know if I'd be here or not, but I just can't stay away for that long. I thought 2 weeks off was too much. And plus, Ashley, I had to hear in person about your big news. You and Jared have had huge, huge news this week that I thought that I really just wanted to hear about.
Oh, it's been a big week for us. One, we have... Well, there's two weddings in our lives this weekend, one being Ben's. Jared has his other best friends, the girl who signed him up for The Bachelor. That wedding is the day before in Cancun, and he's just going to be a flying crazy mess. I'm not going to Cancun because I don't know that that would be the best for me in this third trimester as I approach it this week. Yeah. I'm burying the lead. Jared and I became aunt and uncle last night.
Woo!
So cute. We haven't met our niece yet, though. Yeah, the COVID restrictions are really strict. It's all like kind of dependent on hospital and maybe state. I'm not sure. Like the hospital I'm delivering at, that's not an issue. Like my sister and Jared can be in the delivery room. I can have like one other person. Like my parents can visit. But like at the hospital that she's at, we can't.
So babies are just going to be all over the place.
All over the havens. Yep. It's so crazy. We were a trimester apart, which was really fun. We were like exactly 13 weeks apart, which is crazy.
Well, congratulations to you guys and the Haven family. That's just such a cool deal. And what a thing to celebrate. And then, I have a lot of love for Jared. The fact that he's even trying, and he will, but he's attempting to make it to the wedding, which is such
he will. No attempts here.
I know. It's just cool. It's a big deal that he's even doing it. And
it just showed me
that's who Jared is, right?
Very, very important weddings.
They are. I get that. But in the midst of setting up a business, in the midst of two weddings, he's still going to make it happen. We just need to take a second to realize that Jared's just the best. Like, he's just a good dude.
He's the best, and he's been working his butt off. So it'll all pay off soon. Tell me about the opening of the Generous Shop in Soho.
Yeah, so there's a shop in Soho now on West Broadway. I just got back today. It's serving generous coffee. It's called the Good Market. So the Good Market is a place where 30 different for-purpose brands are being represented underneath one roof. So you can walk in and you can buy some of the brands that you might even know, like Sackcloth and Ashes and Able and Generous, Mudlove, which is a really popular pottery company out of Warsaw, Indiana, actually, but it's everywhere now. And so you can walk in and buy them. And in the back, the Generous Coffee is being served up at the cafe. So go in and stop if you're in New York City. In the Soho neighborhood, say hey, and then tell them I sent you. I don't think you get a discount, but I think you just might get a high five, and that would be worth it. as we get started today, we want to mention our batch bracket rule of the week. The batch bracket rule of the week is for week 5, you get 10 plus points every time a contestant is seen holding Michelle's hand. Oh my goodness, that's going to be a lot of points spread out this week.
Guys, we have a very cool guest on the podcast today. His name is Ben Smith. You may not have, he may not have crossed your mind lately, but he was such a big figure on Tayshia's season. So we're really excited to catch up with him. And we're going to do so after this break. Okay, guys, we have Ben Smith on the podcast, and it's the first time, even though he was such a prominent contestant last year on Tayshia and Claire's season. Ben, hey, where have you been? Why haven't you visited us?
Well, this is the first time I've been invited.
Stop that. No, they keep you guys from us.
Yeah.
They lock you up.
I'm happy to be here. I hear that you're pregnant. The last time I saw you, you weren't pregnant, and I hear you're pregnant now.
I'm super much so, and it's...
How are you?
I'm pretty Ms. I try not to complain because, like, you know, blessed, right? But also, Just like my body doesn't like it. But thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, you seem, your spirits seem high. That's cool.
Thanks. I can fake it for a while.
I just want to let you know that at one point a couple weeks ago, I told Ashley, she's like beautiful, and she's like, no, I'm not.
I'm so,
no,
I'm, I got so don't angry. Tell me that. I get really triggered by like the glow thing. I think it's like really toxic for women to have to like feel like they should glow.
No. Well, you seem like you're doing all right, even though it's miserable.
Thank you.
And Ben, congrats on your wedding. That seems like a cool thing.
Thank you. Was this a good decision to still record a podcast one day before guests arrive and 10 minutes after entering into Nashville? But that's important great. You are. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, to answer your question, Ashley, I've just been living my life. Mm-hmm. I have a business here in Los Angeles, so I've been pretty, stuck working with that, not stuck, but I've been pretty focused on building that and the gym space that I own here and the community that we're slowly growing. The world's starting to open up a bit again, especially here on the West Coast. And so we've got this new opportunity to like finally go full speed with everything. So I've been pretty committed and, focused on that. So like, that's the reason why I haven't come on the show, but also maybe have been like a little bit MIA just because I'm focused on all the stuff that I've got going on in my life.
So you like jumped into business entrepreneurship after the show. Was it what you were doing, the same thing you were doing before the show?
So for the last couple of years, like about 2 years prior to going on the show, I was working as a strength conditioning coach in LA, had a small personal training business and coached for a family of gyms locally. And then after the show, we came back to like a quarantined Los Angeles still. Mm-hmm. So our gym was still closed during that process. My now business partner and I built an online platform for training. And then through that, once the world started to open back up again, we like combined what we were doing digitally with the space we have in Los Angeles. And we actually just rebranded into a fully new thing last month. So it's a new community, new name, same type of thing, strength conditioning training for anyone that's open to getting better and stronger and feeling better about themselves. So it's been a really cool thing, but it takes all my time. So,
I mean, my most burning question is, why didn't you go on Bachelor in Paradise? So I feel like you're that dedicated.
I hear that's invite only. And
stop that now.
I'm really just focused on all the stuff that I've got going on here. I don't feel like it's, appropriate to my partner and the community that we've got to like step away for long periods of time. And Bachelor in Paradise just wasn't in the cards for me this time, but like, who knows?
But you got the invite, right?
I did not.
Come on now.
That's shocking. That's surprising to me. Why do you think that is? Did you talk to anybody?
No, I mean, it's been limited with the people inside the franchise since leaving the show, but all on good terms. I'm focused on my life, and maybe they saw that as a thing. Like they know very well that I own a business here and that I'm really focused on all the things that I've got going on in LA. And maybe it's somebody looking out for me, just knowing that maybe it's not the right step for me personally at this time. But I think I was kind of joking, but it is invite only, and I just didn't receive any invitation.
I'm truly mind-boggled as you being the runner-up on Tayshia's season to not be invited.
There's always going to be more, right?
There is.
I guess.
There is, but that is surprising to me because it feels like, you weren't the only one this year that we expected to see at the beach. And some people, got entered into relationships, and some people maybe decline. I don't know if anybody actually declined the offer, but it is like we expected you to be there. Like if you were to say who's going to definitely be on that beach, it was you. And so I'm surprised that the call didn't even happen. I didn't realize that it was that exclusive.
I don't really know. I don't really know. I've never been. I don't really know. But it wasn't for me this year. And maybe people have had enough Ben. Who knows?
No, never enough Bens.
Also, I hear Ben from Indiana.
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm Ben from Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, I'll let you take that from me.
We are Bens from Indiana.
Yeah, we're Bens from Indiana. So what high school did you go to?
Cathedral High School in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so I'm from Northern Indiana. I'm glad you represented well. The Midwest is still strong.
Nice,
but yeah, I knew that. And then I was reminded that in our notes leading up to the show is that we're both Hoosiers. And if somebody doesn't know what a Hoosier is, that is what you call somebody from Indiana, because the story goes like this. Somebody was standing on one side of the Ohio River. Some guy was standing on the other, and they yelled, "Who is there?" But the guy on the other side thought he was saying Hoosier. And so we call ourselves the Hoosiers.
Yep. That's where this came from.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, Ashley. I know, but it's who we are.
Right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Well, Ben, I have to play a little like tough question game with you for a second.
Send it.
If you were to have been in paradise, like what girls would have been on your list? Who would you wanted to meet?
Who would I want to meet?
And this is, and Ben, I want to tell you, this is a good platform to share this, because we've had people say this and then they connect afterwards and love has blossomed. We like to consider ourselves a love show as much as a show about The Bachelor. So throw your shot out there, man.
Holy cow. Well, I have a secret to tell you. Uh-huh. I didn't watch a single episode of Paradise, so I don't even know who was there. But
who would you have wanted? Like, who would you have wanted to have an invite with you from previous seasons?
Man. That's rough. I wasn't really a fan of the show before going on. So like, you're going to throw out names of people that I like don't really follow or don't really pay attention to. But I said this before, I always thought Demi was funny. Mm. But I know that she was on, I heard that she was on this season. I don't know. That's a really hard question. I'm like not giving you a great answer.
No, it's okay. Now we'll flip it and make it easier. If there was a celebrity and we were allowed to have celebrities on the island, who would you bring?
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney.
Who the heck is that?
From Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
Ben knows who that is.
I'm hoping Ashley looks up a picture. I don't know Euphoria.
That girl from HBO's. Oh my God.
I'm going to look her up.
She's the one from White Lotus.
Oh, isn't that movie
Voyeurs? I've never seen White Lotus, but
yeah, she's in Voyeurs.
That's my, she's my celebrity crush.
Okay. But like, I get it. No, I get it. That's fair to me. Yeah, that's You know, Ben, if you would have said if Ashley and I would, because this is our podcast, sometimes we like to overstep our bounds. And if you would have said who would you have set me up with? We love Demi. We like Demi as a human. We just think she's funny. But it would not have been who first came to my mind when I thought of you.
Well, see, you're going to tell me people that I wouldn't be thinking. Like, to be blatantly honest, nobody's like front of mind right now. But who would you have set me up? Who would you have put me with?
I mean, I would think you'd be more of like a quiet, like just kind of like just more like low key person. So maybe like Serena, who ended up with Joe, or some of these people, like some of the people that came and went even on this show, somebody maybe that was released a few weeks earlier due to some controversy. I think you could have seen through that and been with them. I was going to put you more with a Serena this year. Okay. Like, I thought you'd be competing for those types. Like a quieter, less outspoken, but you know, you threw out Demi, even Amari, maybe like Mari had like the edge to her, but yet she was like, she wasn't like the loudest or most like known character because she was consistent. And Demi obviously steps onto the beach and makes a name for herself every time she does.
I think it's funny. This is actually going to be a funny thing. So I didn't really understand what The Bachelor or Bachelorette was before going on the show. I didn't understand.
Then how did you get there?
I was reached out to.
Randomly, they were like
via social media.
I wish that was my story.
I know, too. I begged and pleaded, not really. I just sent in the most elaborate audition tape.
Ashley, you begged and pleaded.
That surprises me a lot, Ashley.
Wait,
actually.
For real? Are you being sarcastic?
You should see her audition video.
No, so I was asked to go on the show, and I like didn't know, like I didn't understand like the gravity of what it was or like how deep the fan base was. I just like was naive to that fact. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have known, like going on now, like what to expect coming out of it. It's been a wild, wild year, a pretty exciting year. But that I didn't really know who were the characters were, who like the prominent influential people inside the franchise were. I didn't really understand any of that. But I did know who Demi was because one time I randomly came across a video of her, like just saying some outlandish on the internet, and I thought it was hilarious. And so she was really the only person that I knew inside of the franchise before going on. But yeah, it's been a really cool experience. Everyone's been super nice and like really warm and accepting inside. So it's been really great to meet, you know, people like you and everyone else that I've come across since.
Ben, I got to pause you here.
Yeah.
Was that a lion that just walked through your background? Because something massive that semi looked like a house cat just came across your back.
It's a cat. I'm at a friend's house and she's got a cat and a huge dog. The dog's out for a walk, but yeah, it's a, I don't know where she went. Yeah, it's a big cat.
It's a big cat. Holy moly. Anyways.
Is it a friend's house or is it a girlfriend's house? These are the questions I have to ask.
It is a friend's house. Yeah. So I'm right down the street. My gym's in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But I live in Venice, and so
that's an exhausting commute.
It's unreal. Yeah. and so the gym's a madhouse right now. So I just walk down the street to a friend's house, and I'm just taking the call from inside her house, which is like really nice. When she left, I said, people are going to think that this is my home, and you like decorated way too nice.
I was going to say, I was like, Ben, I understand why you didn't go to Bachelor in Paradise, because the business is obviously doing quite spectacularly.
I mean, we're doing all right. I don't know. It's been a cool thing. But I do appreciate you saying that, like, maybe someone a little bit quieter would be my style, I think. I don't know. I've dated all types of girls before, and I'm generally pretty reserved. Like, I'm pretty calm. But I think like having a little spice is fun. So like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm getting married on Saturday and I'm marrying a girl who definitely is more reserved and quiet.
Yeah.
But every once in a while you get a little spice, and that spice is shockingly entertaining. And it makes his life a bit. Ben, you know, one of the things that wasn't mentioned enough, right or wrong, on the show was your background being an Army Ranger.
Yeah.
Do you mind explaining that a little bit?
Yeah. So that's a typo from that's an insane thing that happened. So I'm Ranger qualified. So I graduated from Army Ranger School in 2014. The Army Ranger specifically is like a very elite small unit of Army Special Operations. Although I was a graduate of the school, I never served in that unit, the Ranger Regiment. So that was like a huge thing initially. You'll notice that the wording was switched on the show, like by episode 2, because I was like, yo, I can't say this. So I graduated the course in 2014, Ranger qualified. My job was artillery, so I shot cannons and rockets and missiles for the majority of my career. But that that experience was incredibly profound for me. I ended up like getting hurt almost 7 years into my service, and decided that it was right for me to leave. And it's really like helped me not only in the profession that I have now, being in fitness, just because fitness is such an integral part of that job and that life, but the thing that I loved most was soldiers, and it gave me this incredible opportunity to like mold and shape young soldiers, which was like really cool. And now I kind of get to do that in a weird, like, adjacent way with the people that are a part of our gym. So it's been really cool for me. And that experience was the best thing I've ever done. So I really enjoyed it.
That's
I
so
bet
cool.
Your panic out when you saw on your list Army Ranger was like, oh crap. Cause you know,
yeah,
everybody,
I know what it means. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know it was unfortunate to me because like knowing what that means. And then also like having limited control over what like gets shown. I mean, you both have been through the experience. Like everyone's intentions are great and good. But things can be, you know, like misconstrued or misunderstood. And the response from that community specifically, or the Army community, military community specifically, was pretty resounding. And these are the people that I love most and care about most and don't want to offend most. Mm-hmm. And so starting off on week one with that response from the community that I'm in love with was like pretty rough. And it kind of set the tone for like a less than awesome experience during the airing of the show, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, things happen, and it was easily rectified. And the people that I needed to explain this to, like, they heard it and they got an explanation.
Was all the issue because of the title?
Yeah. Right. It's just like it's a very specific thing that you just like shouldn't say if you're not a part of this small group. And so it was fixed almost immediately. I just called someone on the team and was like, hey, this can't be this way. I know that it's like supposed to be like, it's also like add value to my character or like the person that I'm portraying, but like, it can't be this way. And so it was an easy fix. And then, you know, it doesn't really come up because it was a massive part of my life. But like, since I've left the military, it's become, you know, just a thing that I was. It's not a thing that I am anymore. You know, I think some people see that differently, but like, I was a soldier for a long time and I had an incredible experience and it shaped me in ways that I could like never replicate in any other way. But like, now I do another thing. And I'm excited for the opportunity to step out of that life and into something new.
Well, you talk about how you used your experience there with training in, you know, with the gym. You were also super vulnerable and it was really, I don't want to say it was cool to get a guy's perspective on an eating disorder, but it was just something that we don't ever talk about, but it affects a lot of men. So it was nice to get out there. So how do you do that? Because you do work in the fitness and the wellness industry. Yeah. Like you're surrounded by food all the time. You probably think about nutrition all the time.
Yeah. So my job before owning the gym and coaching like fitness per se, or strength, being a strength coach, I coached nutrition and I was working with people who were struggling with similar things that I dealt with. Sharing that with Tayshia on the show wasn't like a weird thing for me. Like I didn't really understand that it would have such a big impact. It's a thing that I use in my business every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, these are my experiences and I hope that I can like, you know, share in yours. And like, I work intimately with a small group of clients, specifically with like eating disorder type things or like building healthy relationships with food, you know, currently, but the career that I had going into the show incorporated a lot of my own experience. And so sharing that with her, was just like me just being open. Like that wasn't a scary thing for me. There's other things I talked about on the show that like were much larger and much scarier and, far more impactful or like traumatizing for me to share. But that experience with my eating disorder was just something that I openly talk about here in the community that I coach in now and before. And so I'm happy that like I started the conversation and I'm happy that since the show, I've been able to talk openly about it in other venues and on other platforms. And I said this the whole time, if I'm able to just like maybe bring light to a situation that makes someone else feel a little bit less unheard or unseen or less understood, then I can like feel good about everything that's happened so far. So
definitely did that.
I know that's happened and it's been really cool. Like a guy that looks like me or a guy that does the job that I do, or, you know, there's all these like preconceptions about who I am and what I am. And it was nice to share just a little bit of myself on the show. I know it's like, you see 1% of 1% of what I am. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, you see what I care to show, you know, like via social media or in like an interview like this. And so people like never get the full picture, but I am really thankful that like a small part, a really valuable part was able to be, you know, shared with a lot of people. So that's been really cool.
Talk me through, it's always interesting to Ashley and I, talk me through the moment that you decided to open up about this and walk out butt naked on national television on a date. So obviously this is I'm going to set up this a little bit. So like you have this thing that you know is going to be an important conversation to be had.
Yeah.
And you know that you are at this point ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you're getting prepped for this date. And at some point you decided this is the way it's going to happen. Take away everything else, which you can't really do, but take away everything else. Like the courage to just do that in general. Like nowadays we're seeing more and more people come out in this show naked.
Yeah. It's been a theme lately.
I would have never been, I don't have that confidence, I guess.
Yeah.
But like walk us through that behind the scenes for everybody listening.
So I can like set the scene, but the date, it's an art specific date. We're expressing ourselves through like different mediums. One's like clay. There's a charcoal painting expression. There's some other stuff that's going on. And the final portion of the date is a self portrait. And I'm not good at drawing. And, I'm pretty okay at like expressing myself verbally, but I wanted it to be like impactful and like some grand gesture. I think maybe I struggle with, I struggle with opening up sometimes, but the eating disorder and that date were or sharing that I had an eating disorder for a long time, and that date were like mutually exclusive. Like the thing with getting naked was a thing that like I'm comfortable doing. If you called my mom and said, yo, what is Ben's deal? He's always naked. She'd be like, yeah, he's been doing that since he was a baby. The eating disorder wasn't about me being uncomfortable in my body. It was more of a control thing. Like like someone who like turns to alcohol, I turned to food. It was a numbing agent. It kept me safe in times where I felt like I wasn't safe. And so that's what the eating disorder was for me. Fueled by my childhood, fueled by my experience in the military, fueled by a ton of things that like made me feel really out of control, and mm-hmm. food was something that I could control mm-hmm. explicitly. And so that's where the eating disorder came from. But the being naked thing was, I was in a room full of guys who felt the same way about this woman that I did. And I knew that they were all going to do something artistic in the form of like a sculpture or a painting or a whatever. And immediately my brain turns to, oh, Ben, just like take your clothes off. And that will be the thing that like is like, oh, he did something big. But I was so terrified that it was going to be like everybody in the room's like, oh my God, there's a butt. Like, look, you see his butt over there. And like, unfortunately, that's kind of what happened, except for Tayshia. And so in that moment, I was able to stand there like, yeah, being naked, it like doesn't scare me. So like I'm naked there. It like got everybody's attention. And then I was able to have a real conversation with her. And I said was like, look, you see a physical thing here. You see my body, you see my face, you see my hair. But there's so much underneath here. And there's so much underneath there that I haven't shared with anybody. And I'm so excited for you to be the one that like uncovers that. And so I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was something along the lines of like, you've got this physical being, but you've also got everything inside. And it was impactful. And I don't know that I can't remember exactly what they showed, but uh-huh. it was that conversation. And like, it was this meaningful moment together where I think like the relationship took, you know, a different turn or a different step. And getting naked just happened to be the like, the flash that like allowed the moment to happen. You know, I was trying to create something, show this grand gesture, and then tell her something really meaningful. And like, that's interpreted a million different ways by a million different people. Like, oh, Ben just wants to show off his wiener mm-hmm. in front of the room. I'm like, no, like I don't, no. Mm. No, I just wanted it to be something where she specifically would remember.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple times, basically, that you get to see like such a small part of your personality, like 1%. What was, looking back on your experience, like the most frustrating part of your storyline that only got shown 1%?
Yeah. There's two parts to this. Mm-hmm. So my biggest fear going in was that nobody would understand my humor. I have like a pretty dry sense of humor. Like a bit eclectic. Like my humor is different than most of the people I interact with, but like, I think it's funny as hell. So I was concerned that I would go on this show and I would be myself and people would misunderstand my humor and be like, oh, what's this dude's deal? It only got shown once. There was like a roast date where we got to like roast everybody. And I stood up there and just had a ton of material and little bits of it were shown. But that was the only time I ever got to be funny on the program. And so like, I dodged a bullet there where like, they never even showed me being funny. So like, it never got to be interpreted.
That was ever part of your character.
Yeah. But like, I was, you know, I'm not frustrated by any part of the experience because it's given me things that I could have never even hoped for, which is so incredible. Namely this platform to like talk about the stuff that's really important to me. But I was a bit frustrated by the narrative that like I can't express myself emotionally or that I'm a poor communicator. And, you know, I think there's like a level of empathy from the viewership or from the people that are like interpreting this thing where you're like, this is not a real life experience. This is like real life intensified a million fold. Mm-hmm. And so the way that you might normally act or the way that you might normally respond in a situation might not happen on the TV screen. And so if I had any frustration, just feel like, you know, I think that I'm an okay communicator. I wouldn't say I'm great, but I not for lack of trying, you know, some things weren't said or some things weren't shared in the moment, but like looking back, it was stressful as hell. And so, you know, people interpret everything the way that they want to interpret it. But like, I'm more than just the guy who can't share his feelings, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And that was like a bit frustrating. I'm trying to say that in the most, the best way, but
yeah.
I'm more than that guy.
Yeah.
So we, in the final minutes here, seconds maybe with you, and I want at the end here, Ashley and I always like it if you kind of publicize what you're up to, you know, your gym's name, how people can join you, all that stuff. But I do have a question kind of bouncing off of what you just said. So if your storyline, true, not good or bad, was that you lacked your ability to communicate. What was it about your moment with Tayshia where all the other guys laughed, shocked, said, look at his butt.
Yeah.
And she said, what was it about Tayshia that allowed her to see something more? She was the one person in that room that said, I understand what he's doing.
Yeah.
Why was that in your opinion?
Well, I think I'll gas Tayshia up here a bit. I think she's an incredible listener. At least in our experience, she was an incredible listener and she was able to see the intention behind what was going on. And so, you know, I'll give her all the credit in that, but like in a moment where it's chaotic, there's a bunch of people in the room, there's 8 other guys or 10 other guys or however many it was. She gave me the space. She gave me the spotlight to like share a thing. And I'll say that she was never distracted. I mean, as you've been the lead before, and I'm sure there's like a million things going through your head at all times, but what allowed me to share that with her and allowed her to receive that is there was no distraction for her. She was totally focused on me. And in that moment, I was totally focused on her.
Mm.
And it was, I was grateful then. I'm grateful now that like I had this opportunity to share all these things with her. And for like probably the first time in a romantic relationship in my life, I felt heard, I felt listened to, I felt seen, which was really exceptional. And it also like, even though things didn't pan out in that relationship, it lets me know that like there is an opportunity for that later in my life, which is really, really cool. I went into the experience, I'll like elaborate just a little bit more. I went into the experience with like 3 intentions. One was to like maybe meet a really cool girl and have a relationship with her. The second was to learn something about myself. And then the third was, even if a relationship didn't materialize, to like have faith in myself in a relationship in the future and also like restore my faith in women or in my partner, you know, my future partner. And I think all 3 of those things happened, which was really cool. You know, it goes the way that it goes. And I'm just really grateful for her listening to me, for her creating space for me to share my story, and then for the opportunity that's come on the back end, which has been really special and incredible.
Oh, well, after this half an hour conversation, now I really want to see more of you on our TV.
Well, you know, maybe that happens later. I don't know.
Man, also, you making me want you to be the Bachelor because this Clayton guy is so boring.
I know nothing about him, but I heard that he's really tall and has big muscles. And
sure,
so
but that doesn't cut it.
Well,
I had the same thing going for me.
Yeah, look at Ben. You know what I mean? Really tall, huge muscles, and Benny's the Bachelor.
That's just not all Ben either. He just has so many more things above that.
That's the 1% I remember.
Ben, you Ben, both Ben's from Indiana, Ben Smith. I just want to wrap up with 2 like really silly questions about some guys that made some splashy headlines since your time with them on your season. There's Blake Moynes. What do you think about everything that's gone down with him over the past 9 months?
Well, so I didn't even realize that he was going back on the show. Like I didn't even see, and then I see all these like people send me like Instagram stuff all the time, but I see all these things like he's back on the show. I think the video is like him holding a thing, holding a boombox in the street, which is kind of funny.
So you haven't kept in touch, I suppose.
Not really. Yeah. No. You know, I think there was like talk of maybe doing some like philanthropic thing where we like go to Africa and like do great stuff for rhinos and other wildlife. But we really haven't communicated much since then. I heard that he just broke up with Katie. I don't know the specifics on that, but I heard that happened, and I hope that they're both doing all right. I should probably reach out to him.
And then there's Brandon, who you're Brendan, who you were with like entire time on Tayshia's season. And he was a little sketchball down in Paradise. Was that at all surprising for you?
I was very taken aback. Again, I like didn't watch Paradise. I feel shitty saying that because like you guys.
No. We're not offended.
Right. So I didn't watch anything, but like just the same way with Blake, I've heard tons of stuff. You know, Brennan has visited me in Los Angeles at the gym. So I was very, you know, we were close on our season together. He's come and visit me in Los Angeles. I was incredibly surprised by what, not only what he said, but what has been said, you know, in response to all the things. And, you know, I hope for his sake that he's doing okay. And I hope that like everyone else affected by everything that's gone on is also doing okay. It's just such a crazy deal.
Telling you what, these characters come out at some point.
Here's a funny thing. I had a boss early on, and what did he say? He said, you can fool everybody for a little bit, but you can't fool anybody forever.
Mm. Mm, it's good.
You can fool everybody for a little bit, but you can't fool everybody forever. Mm-hmm.
That's what especially when your life is televised. It's kind of hard when
also like there's cameras and microphones all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like not even just all of the time.
Yeah. It's wild to me. So it's always been shocking is the things people decide to say thinking they're going to get away with it.
Yeah.
They never do. They never do. It's always the thing that's shown.
Actually, I can think of a time or two people did get away with it, but we won't go there.
Ben, as we say goodbye to you, if you can just give like a 20-minute plug.
20 minutes.
20-second plug. Your commercial for everything you're up to, where people can find you, how they can support you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. My name's Ben Smith. I live in Venice Beach, California. I own a gym called Rodeo Athletic, at Rodeo, R-O-D-E-O, Athletic. We are in West Hollywood, California. My social media is at Ben V. Smith, B-E-N-V-E-E-S-M-I-T-H. If you're into feeling really good about yourself and about the life that you're currently living, follow along and I'll relate to you on there.
Sweet. Go check out Rodeo Athletic. Ben Smith, thanks for coming on Almost Famous Podcast. It's been a pleasure and thanks for joining us for the first time ever.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, Ben.
See ya.
Well, it was great to have Ben Smith on the episode. It is good to hear from him. It's been a while. I am shocked, Ashley, that he was not invited to Paradise.
Weird. Weird.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Remember Peter from Rachel's season when he didn't get invited back to anything else?
Well, yeah. But I think that was more like Peter's decision making, right?
Oh, was it?
Wasn't that more like negotiations didn't exactly go the best? Like they wanted him, but like he had requirements.
Yeah. Well, it's still shocking. It was great to have Ben on. Hey, Ashley, before we do this week's breakdown of the episode, I want to say thank you to everybody. I'm not going to be able to respond to everybody because it's been a lot who sent advice or info on ALS. Our fan base, Ashley, like, I've never asked anything of anybody that I've gotten a bigger response to.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
And I'm reading them all, but like it's impossible to.
I know. Sometimes when you open up about something, you get the most incredible responses and you do end up reading them all. But then you have this sense of being overwhelmed that you like can't thank people enough.
Yeah.
So like just you guys, just let, like, we just want to let you know that like we appreciate everything that you send us and we really do try to read it all. We're so sorry we can't respond to it all.
Definitely. And then this side is I don't want, you know, Brandon and Sam to be overwhelmed either. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and so we're filtering through stuff. I have somebody always going through the emails and the DMs, like, you know, gathering information, sending it off to me or them when it feels helpful. But just like people are awesome. So that's, you know, that's something that I just want to sit on. Well, hey, it is time to break down another episode of Michelle's season. Ashley, to get us started, I think it would be helpful to share overarching thoughts so far leading up to this, and then even after this episode, and then we can go step by step in chronological order. Here's my thoughts. Clayton still did not shine, and I'm shocked why. I'm waiting for him to explode as a main character, and it just doesn't feel like it's happening to me.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't even think that there's anything he can do to make me engrossed in him right now.
Well, you would expect him to have a few more episodes left, yeah. And it just takes one. Like, that's what we're holding on. It just takes one episode to really, yes, like, change the narrative. But at this point, I am surprised because they need a good Bachelor season. They need a compelling lead. They need somebody that, like, the audience rallied behind. And I actually thought, like, this is going to be that guy. They haven't had it in a while. You know, I thought, oh, this is the reason they chose him so early is because they think this guy is going to steal the hearts of America. And so far, we just don't know anything about him. Like, he's just there. But, like, there's guys on the season, like the Nates of the world and the Joes of the world and the Rodneys of the world that are, like, in my opinion, people are rallied behind. Like, they're like, no, this is good. This is good stuff. Like, these guys could do it.
Yeah, there's definitely better options. But I have to say, overall, because you did want my macro opinion, I don't know that any of these guys are good enough for Michelle. I'm, like, obsessed with her. She's so cool and so pretty. And I just feel very underwhelmed by the group in general.
That's a fair statement because I do think she is in a league of her own when it comes to life. I just think she's really incredible. You know, we feel this way often, Ashley. I want to remind us that we feel this way often at this point in a season where, we're like, you know what? There's just nobody up to the lead, you know, standards.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, you know, stuff starts to switch. I mean, think about how big of, it's not like we are ever not a fan of Zach, but there was a moment during that season where we didn't know she'd end up with Zach.
That's true.
And now we see Tayshia and Zach together and we're like, oh, no, this is good. Big. This,
I mean,
is good.
I became obsessed with Zach for Tayshia, yeah, as time went on. Yeah.
Late in the season, though.
Yeah,
we're not,
I know.
At this point,
yeah,
we weren't
not
convinced
at this point.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could still happen. I'm with you. I think Michelle is incredible. We've talked about the upcoming lead. We've talked about the current lead. We're still waiting for both things to happen for Michelle on her season and also Clayton to shine. Again, I sit in the same place I did. I don't dislike the guy. I just don't know the guy.
Yeah,
I don't have much of a feeling on the man. And so as a result, I'm just not convinced that I'm going to be like full-on support running into this next Bachelor season going, I cannot wait for this guy to find love because I just don't know him. So that's where we stand. I'm hoping that changes for Michelle.
Yeah, like maybe we'll just stop talking about him for the next couple weeks. And then if he gets eliminated and we still feel nothing, then we'll really critique the crap out of this whole situation.
No, I'm going to talk about it every week because I think I think it's a storyline that everybody's wondering.
Okay.
Every week you see Twitter blowing up. I mean, last week his name was trending with people going,
oh, was
where
it?
Is this guy? Oh, yeah. Where
Stop.
Is this guy?
Wow.
So it's a big conversation. People are waiting. People are wanting and they need a big one. So, OK, Ashley, chronological order, this episode, let's step through it.
All right, let's do it. Okay. So let's do the first one-on-one, which is with
Martin.
And Martin, we were saying that we like kind of liked him. He was kind of a dark horse last week. This date actually didn't make me like him more. What about you?
No, I think he was fine. I think what I would say about this date was it just like, it allowed us to highlight him. And I just don't think he's like stepped up. Like, I just don't, I mean, he was obviously, he tried to open up. He was vulnerable. He tried to communicate and that's good. I mean, it's good and it's healthy in a dating relationship. However, nothing from this date made me go, this is her husband or
right.
This is a future partner. It just made me go. And even the way,
things funny. Got awkward they're with the whole Jamie situation. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a very awkward like tub thing. Was when I really saw, and I was like, this guy just isn't it for her, in my opinion. No. He's missing it. And he doesn't necessarily know how to handle himself right now in like a natural way with an incredible person by his side. So no, I mean, I'm more of a fan of him than I thought I would be. And that's mostly based on my judgmental ways of seeing him in a picture. He's growing on me, but I think this week he didn't grow any further than he did last week.
No, I don't think that he was trying to like question her judgment about the Jamie situation. Maybe he didn't pick the words correctly. I can still understand why she would get like a little awkward about it. But I just felt like there was, yeah, there just was like not enough there for me to like pull him through as a favorite in my mind.
Yeah.
And their conversation over dinner was just kind of about like the fact that he's like blunt and like is always working on like, what did he say? Like get just like communicating better and allowing himself to open up.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure like, I don't know everybody's upbringing and I'm sure people do struggle with that. You know, Michelle did empathize with him and say, yeah. Hey, you know, I'm similar.
He was like, I don't cry. Yeah.
But the, hey, I'm blunt and it can come off wrong. Like it's kind of when somebody says like, sorry, I just speak truth, but really they're just mean. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, it's like, oh, no, you're just a jerk. Like you just, you know, and somebody's like, sorry, I just say what's on my mind. And it's like, well, yeah, like if we all did that all the time, like we'd just all be mean to each other probably. So it doesn't like that didn't fly with me as much as them relating on the, hey, it's hard for me to get emotional. It's you know, I'm not allowing myself to go deep. That stuff was fine. I just don't that this whole date fell short for me on a romantic level for the two of them.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And meanwhile, back at the house, there's a group date card that comes. Nate sees that he's not the person who's going on the one-on-one, and he ends up saying that he's not stressed about not getting it. He said eventually it will come. He feels like he's in a good spot regardless, which flags Chris S. to like think that he's coming off as cocky. I can kind of see that. There's like a fine line between confidence and cocky. No, there's a fine line between confidence and cocky. I think he just feels good about himself. I didn't find a huge problem with it. I think that absolutely Chris is ridiculous in the entire second half of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you want Nate to say? Like, oh my gosh, I don't have the one-on-one. I think I'm going home. Yeah. He knows he's not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's fair for him to say, I'm okay. Like, this is the journey that she wants to go on. I don't need to go on this date. And I would like to be on this date, but I know it's going to come at some point. That's okay. Maybe it came off a little cocky. Maybe somebody there was sensitive to it. But at the same time, I personally have zero problem with that mindset of I'm good for now. Like, yeah. I'll wait until she's ready.
Yeah. Same. Okay. So the group date was like a real big bummer for Michelle because it was a sleepover themed, but it seemed like the guys all went into bro zone and they gave her no attention. And guys do this and girls don't. This would only happen on The Bachelorette where the guys get so bro-y and like enjoy the activity so much that they end up ignoring the girl. The girls would never have that happen and have the guy be sitting in the corner, not being pursued.
No.
Guys love hanging out with guys sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get that. But it's also just weird to me that she was so alone the whole time.
I mean, do you think that like there was something said where they were like, Michelle doesn't feel very good today. Like, leave her alone.
Ooh, maybe. I mean, even then, though, you would have had somebody there you'd expect that would have checked on her. Maybe they didn't show it. But like, typically, you know, what I would say is like the overall tone of the date is fairly accurately shown on television. Like, there's not a date that I ever went on that I watched it back and I was like, that's not at all what happened. Like, if the tone of the date overall was, hey, she felt like she was on the outside looking in, then I think they accurately portrayed it. And I'm imagining that is because she has personal conversations about that afterwards. So she felt pushed aside. She felt like these guys were more interested in hanging out with each other, but also just a weird date. I mean, I know they're trying to get creative, and so far this season's had some incredible dates, but like, this was probably in the hotel conference room and they've like made it look like a living room. Like, what a weird date to have in general.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Again, as far as the pillow fight, the pillow slash teddy bear fight, you guys know that I can't stand it when it's like some sort of competition. At least this time it was a competition where nobody was going to get hurt, because we always complain about that because somebody always gets hurt. But this is pretty safe, pretty PG. But I still like kind of dazed out about it. Like, I don't really care. I don't know. I think it was odd how little she was pursued, to the point where it's just like, was there something going on? I don't know.
But I also don't think that is like, I'm not worried about that being the tone for the guys about Michelle. Like, I think they're very into her.
Yeah.
And so possibly, the date just didn't go according to plan, or, you know, nobody stepped up to do it well. But I think these guys are super into Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they want to give her attention. Maybe they just didn't know how to in that scenario.
Okay. That's my one thing, is sometimes I would just be so nervous on the show, the main show, that I would be just like scared to kind of like go up to Chris and start talking. Because I'd be like, oh, if nobody else is doing it, then maybe I shouldn't be doing it. Is this awkward? Like, what am I going to talk about? La, 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 la. So you kind of like psych yourself out. And I can see that maybe like that became a train-like effect.
Yeah. It is. But it does, and it sparks an important conversation for Michelle, where we get to see more of her and understand more of her. Because this date really led into her then opening up about the fear of not being seen, the fear of being pushed aside, the fear of being like feeling like the outsider looking in, when, you know, she's not, right? She's the lead of the show. She's she's the has the attention of every man, at least we hope, that is there. But it does allow us to hear more of her, some of her insecurities and struggles, and what makes her Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great moment. And some guys did step up in that moment for her as she opened up about that.
Like Olu?
Olu being the one. I mean, he stepped up for her in that moment and was, in my opinion, if we're looking at this thing, like, now I know he's a force to be reckoned with on this show. He is now the Martin of last week, where we don't know a lot about him leading up to this, and now we're like, no, this guy's got something for her.
Yeah, he's a sweetness. I got good vibes from him.
Good listener.
And it was a really good, meaningful, deep conversation that they had. I'm glad he got that rose. I'm glad that like we have another solid quality man in this group.
Yeah.
And the other quality guy that I think kind of like came out of the woodwork this episode was Rick, who got the other one-on-one date.
Yeah.
Seems like a really sweet guy. I do not feel a ton of romance between them, but he's a nice guy, right? Before this episode, and maybe still forever, I'm going to think about his head on the dinner tray.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird that it's really sticking with me.
Yeah, it's hard to take him serious when that's all you can remember is him, his head on a platter. But yeah, I'm with you. But he did. He stood out. And this is, I'd say, the best episode was for Olu and then for Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Those two had the best episode. I believe they both will be around now a while, because it wasn't like this kind of like sudden spark. No, we both got to see a lot. We got to see as viewers a lot of both of them. And I think that over time, it proved that their relationship with Michelle is something special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both going to go way farther than I think we would have initially imagined.
Yeah.
With Rick, he had that story that he told about his dad was just heartbreaking. I mean, this is the second one-on-one that Michelle's had where she has somebody confide in her that a parent committed suicide. And yeah. That is a lot to handle. I mean, and for him to have this guilt like with him for the rest of his life because he was the one who caught the dad cheating is just so heavy, so sad.
Yeah. You know, Ashley, it shows us every time. And it's people that go on this show and people in general have incredibly hard and also incredibly beautiful stories. And we get to hear them on this show. It's one of the best parts of the show is it does allow the space for us to connect with the cast members and also have conversations that matter, which Michelle's doing this year, and then have conversations with people like Rick that matter and that get to know him better. And that's why I'm just saying, like, over time, we either fall in love with these people more or we push away from them more. And for us this week, especially, like, we understand Rick better. And we'll probably get to understand Rick a lot more as this season goes on. But that was a tough conversation to sit through, but one that was so necessary because I'm sure Rick is not the only one out there who feels similar to how he's feeling now.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite parts of the show is that people get to see, you know, viewers get to watch people have these hard conversations on TV and therefore them being at home feel like more seen, which is like kind of ironic that like I'm talking about being seen when like the theme of the episode was Michelle feeling not seen. But I do think that Rick was a great choice following that group date because he is the kind of personality that's just going to be like obsessed with her. Do you know what I mean? Like he probably feels like he's a little out of that. She's a little out of his league. And that's the kind of guy that's going to like give you, he's going to like worship you. If you're Michelle,
it's interesting too because Michelle, I mean, and I know this, Michelle would have had no idea his story before this date.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like a list of this is Rick, this is his story. Do you want him to go on this one?
Yeah.
She chose Rick because she was obviously interested in Rick. And he just happened to be there on a week that it was so, I would say, probably needed for her and for him. And so the timing of this is really beautiful because she wouldn't have known his story, when she asked him to go on this week's one-on-one.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So true. So the theme of being seen continues with the cocktail party slash rose ceremony when Chris is a little weird. And like, there were some bleep out things that I was a little confused with. They were bleeping out. I guess he says that's effed up, right? He just like straight off the top says it's effed up that you guys didn't show her the effort she deserves. But I'm like, Chris, you were on that date too. You're clumped into that feeling. She was referring to your part of the date, not the nighttime portion of the date. You know, he's just classic. I mean, this is classic guy not getting attention, you know, probably on the verge of getting eliminated. And he decides to get attention by creating some drama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it just happens every season. We could get upset about it every season. We could, you know, throw our fist up in the air and be like, Chris, what are you doing? This makes no sense. Where do you hope this goes? Are you trying to ruin this experience for her and for everybody else there and just like help yourself out? So I'm, you know what it does for me, Ash, if I'm going to be like harsh.
Yeah.
I just don't take him seriously anymore.
Same. I mean, like there's nothing to take seriously. He comes across as like a used car salesman in an 80s movie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's a great example. It's like, all right, cool, man. You've said what you need to say. You've had your party here. The attention's been on you. You're gone. You know, this is just in my head. This doesn't matter anymore. Like, and I'm tired. What I don't love, Ashley, and it's happened now through Michelle's season. It's been this constant theme is every week. Somehow, some way her week has been ruined. And I remember times when, you know, if Michelle is feeling, if her insecurity is not being seen, I imagine she has some insecurities being the bachelorette. Like, she's doing an incredible job But like at some point you're holding on for anything just to feel like you belong there as the bachelorette, so you can continue to date and function in this environment. And if every week you're in your own head questioning, is anybody into me? Is anybody here for me? Like, it's going to mess with you. Mm-hmm. Like, and people and viewers might not get that. Like, it does. I had 2 weeks of this during my season where like something happened where I was like, I don't think anybody actually wants to be here. And you lay in bed at night and you're like, this thing's going to come crashing down around me. Like, this thing's done. Well, I don't belong here. I've proven it to myself. So I'm sick of that because I feel bad for Michelle that we have to continue to, you know, broach this subject.
I feel you. How'd you feel about Nate when she sat down with him? Because while I'm, of course, more on Nate's side here than Chris's, I don't think it was Nate's shining moment when he sat down. You could tell that he didn't like feeling, I mean, obviously nobody's going to like feeling targeted.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he like reassured her in the best way. He kind of came across as cool guy.
Yeah, that might be that. I think you just explained it. You know, how do I feel about it was he was he felt defensive.
Yeah.
And instead of being in a place where you are defensive of the person probably most hurt, which is not him, it's Michelle.
Yeah.
He is defensive of himself, and that just doesn't come off well. But he's also in the moment, which is why one of the issues with the show is you don't have time to like process and think and like step away and then come back and be like, you know what, after thinking about that, Michelle, you're probably most hurt here. Let me hear from you. Mm-hmm. You have to almost react. And that's why, you know, you've heard me say it before and we've talked about it, like the best leads and the best cast members are ones that don't overreact. They're really good at navigating the problems. Michelle's really good at navigating the problems. She takes time away. She cancels cocktail parties. She says, hey, I'm not ready to speak on this stuff yet. But for Nate, I felt like he just started talking too soon and it came off fairly self-promoting and not as much focused on her.
I hope he turns back to the guy that we saw previously come next week, in which they're going to Minnesota. Yay! You and I wanted them to go to Minnesota. I don't know why I've been not cool with them being in Palm Springs. I'm just really sad that they're hot, so hot all the time and so sweaty.
Minnesota's going to be great. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be comfortable to her. And, you know, she's down to a smaller group of people. We said it last week. We're hoping this group of guys are like the right ones for her.
I really hope that there's somebody that emerges that I feel like is the perfect combination of sweet, smart, romantic, because I feel like she has romance with some guys and then she has like depth and like real quality in some guys. I don't know that I'm seeing someone who has the full rounded picture for her. I'm hoping.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. As we talked about earlier, viewers, listeners out there, who do you see for Michelle right now? Who is your top choices? But Ashley, so write us in, Ashley, as we do every week. Now, who's your top three?
Joe, Rodney, and maybe Brendan. Brendan?
No. Yeah, Brandon.
Brandon. Okay. So Brandon.
Yeah, I'm going to go Joe, Rodney. I'm going to still throw Nate up there. I like Brandon a lot. I mean, he's got a lot of momentum, but I still see the Joe, Rodney, Nate thing as the three, you know, biggest players. It's interesting if you look at this list of Brandon, Leroy, Joe, Rodney, Clayton, Casey, Nate, Chris S. I would say that, you know, Rick, Brandon, Joe, Nate, Rodney are all above Clayton in terms of familiarity right now. Mm-hmm. And that's just odd. Again, just odd to me. We could keep beating that thought down. I'm a little surprised by it.
Super, super weird. Thing about Joe, how interesting will it be if she ends up with a guy that she like previously DM'd and like lives in her city?
I mean, it's probably happened before. Maybe not the city thing, but the previous DM thing.
Well, kind of with Katie and Blake.
Yeah, I would say it's not going to be the, I think it would be cool because maybe they needed this to get together. Mm-hmm. They needed this to push them, and I'm cool with that. Like, ultimately, we just want to see everybody's love story play out. And so if that's where love takes them, then that's where love takes them.
Yep. All right. Well, after this, we're going to do Bachelor Headlines. And Ben, you're part of Bachelor Headlines, and I can't wait to dig into it with you.
It's time for Bachelor Headlines with our resident expert, Ashley Iaconetti, here to break down everything going on in Bachelor Headlines. I haven't seen the headlines yet, but she hinted to me that I'm in them. So, is what I have to say. Anyways, here's the first headline of this week. Katie Thurston seemingly responds to wild rumors about her friendship with John Hersey after Blake Moyne split. This is according to Us Weekly.
So there's this guy, John Hersey, which you may not even know if you don't follow Katie or him on social media. He was eliminated week 2 during her season. And she wrote or said something on Instagram this week saying, "Y'all are getting wild in my DMs." Said, "Internet rumors are leading me to become..." This is weeks ago. She said this part. "Internet rumors lead me to this guy becoming a dear friend. And people are DMing her things like, 'Hope you guys are more than friends now,' heart emoji, or 'It won't be long until romance blooms between you guys.'" But I think she's trying to make it very clear that they are just friends. Apparently, she posted a picture of a bouquet of flowers that she got from a friend, and the note said, "These are not romantic flowers. These are happy flowers because I want you to be happy." And fans are speculating that that was from him. Now, just based on this info, do you think that this guy, John, wants to be friends with Katie? Or is he slowly trying to make his way out of the friend zone?
Oh, I'm sure he's trying to make his way out of the friend zone. I mean, I think there's a lot of really good examples of guys and girls being friends, right?
Sending flowers.
Exactly.
That's always that's like where you have to draw the line. That's where I drew a line with Jared, where I was like, nope, no matter what people tell me, he likes me. This was between Bachelor in Paradise seasons, because there were two moments, one in October and one in March, where he sent me flowers and the note was so personal, definitely not just friends. Like he said in the second one on my birthday, like the Corey to your Topanga. And it was like, I was like, okay, guys, you can pretend like I'm crazy, but I am not. So
he really knows the way to your heart, Ash. Wow. All right. Next headline is this.
You.
Ben Higgins. We kind of know him. details Jessica Clark. Kind of know her also. Wedding, 3 officiants and countless Bachelor and Bachelorette alums. This is according to Us Weekly. What do you want to talk about, Ash?
According to Us Weekly and yourself.
Yeah.
3 officiants. How did you not mention this last week when I was grilling you about wedding details?
That's a good point. I don't know why I didn't. Yeah, we're having 3 officiants, and I think it's going to be like the cool, unique, one of the unique things that exists for us is we want, Jessica and I both wanted this wedding to be a celebration, and every wedding is, right? But we really wanted this to highlight us coming together and the people in our lives that have played a role in us coming together, if that's childhood, if that's, you know, adulthood, whatever. And so, it's a big deal for us because we have my childhood pastor. We have her childhood pastor. And then we have a pastor who had a huge role in my life specifically and hers over the last couple of years in Denver. Okay. And so we wanted to incorporate all of them because it didn't make sense for us to just have one of them. And so one is going to intro, one is going to do the middle, one is going to do the closing. And that way we get married by all three of them. And we can say like those three people in our lives will have played a role and will now have always played a role in our relationship.
Oh, that's really sweet. I love that. And then, of course, everybody wants to know who's going to be there. And yeah, this guest list of Bachelor contestants and alums and friends, nobody is surprising to me, but I'm going to list them off. Okay, so it's me and Jared.
It's not all. That's not all.
That's
of
not
them
all
either.
Of them. Okay, this yeah is what you mentioned. So me, Jared, Becca Kufrin, who's bringing her plus one, Thomas. Then there's Dean and Kaylin. Chase McNary's bringing his new girlfriend, or I guess he's been with her for a while. Blake and Elise. Becca Tilly, Sean Booth, Caitlin, and Jason were both invited, but they have a tour date in Boston, so they're not going to be there, which I'm going to miss her for sure there. And then Nick and Natalie, Chris Soules, and okay, so who are we missing from that?
Yeah, I'd have to look back at the list and find out who we have to cross out, but that's a lot of them, most of them, right? And I'm just super pumped to have everybody there.
I'm so excited to see everyone.
So excited to see everybody. So excited to celebrate with everybody. It's been a long time since we've been together in the same spot. And so, you know, it's going to be great. It's going to be like a reunion in a lot of ways. And the cool part about this is, you know, these people are friends of mine. Like, these are people I still talk to on a regular basis. There's still people that have a huge role in my life. Wells, I don't know if Wells is on there.
No, I know. I think I meant to mention Wells separately. So it says he's going to be an usher. You yeah call him an usher. Does that mean that you're not having a proper bridal party? Or is he a groomsman?
No, he's like an usher. So he helps people get seated. Okay. I don't know if that's a Midwest thing.
No.
But like when you walk in, he'll be, it's like, you know, it's, there's four friends of mine, Avery, Wells.
Oh, Avery.
Yeah, they're going to be ushers. So they're going to help people get seated, sit down, kind of get people rallied together. So they're part of the wedding party. They're just ushers and not standing up with me okay as groomsmen.
Do you have groomsmen standing up with you?
I do. Yeah. So they're going to be standing up with, they're going to walk out with me, I believe. And then my dad is my best man, as I mentioned.
Okay, very nice.
And so they, yes, I do have groomsmen standing up with me. That's very important to me. And Jess, I mean, she has a lot of friends that she wants standing beside her.
Lovely. Okay. So excited. We will have a big report next yep week.
We're 4 days away, Ash. 4 days.
4 days. So, so crazy. Very exciting. Yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait. I'm going to cry my eyes out, I'm sure.
I'm gonna be a mess. Jessica's
you're gonna
stomach
be crying too. Yeah,
is starting to do knots. She said, not like out of anything more than just like we're so close and it's so exciting and we just got to Nashville, like literally right when I walked in the door and like I finally now feel like it's here. So the place that it all started, I'm right back at it. Well, that's enough about me. Why Bachelor Nation's Peter Weber says dating Madison Pruitt was the most difficult experience ever. This according to E!
Okay, so he goes, this is literally the most trying experience he's ever endured. Most difficult experience ever been through. As much as respect as I have for her and think so highly of her, I definitely see there were differences between the two of us that probably weren't going to allow a meaningful long-term relationship to flourish. Nothing against either one of us. It's just who we are. It is what it is. It's very interesting there. I feel like a lot of it probably has to do with the religion because she is so religious, and I don't know that that really ever came out about him. So in this article from Page Six that came out this week, it talks about how Maddie, who is waiting, saving herself for marriage, walked away after learning that Peter had been intimate with both Hannah Ann and Victoria in the Fantasy Suites. And he was asked about whether or not Maddie had had a Fantasy Suite date, whether that would have given them a better chance. And he said, if that would have been the case, obviously the show would have gone a little different. But I really, truly mean this. I don't know that that would have changed anything in the long run, which I'm pretty sure he's quite accurate about. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course not, because they ended up having like plenty of private solo conversations. Nothing about a fantasy suite date would have made a difference.
No. Well, final headline, other than one kind of fun one that we want to do. Congratulations to Tayshia Adams, her fiance, Zach, Matt James, and many more.
Tyler, who else was there? There's a lot of Bachelor alums.
Peter Weber did it. Dr. Joe did it. I mean, there's a huge list here of people who did it. But they just ran and completed all of them. The New York City Marathon. I was in New York City the day of the marathon. All I saw was a bunch of people and a lot of traffic. but it was, and I also had a big piece of pizza, a couple pieces that night while they were running. But it doesn't matter. Congratulations to them on completing this. It's a huge deal.
It is such a huge deal. I am mind boggled that anyone can run a marathon. I can't even believe I used to run 3 miles in high school in PE class. I give myself props for being able to do that. Marathons are just, I know I said this before, but like they fascinate me because they are just seems like the most difficult feat. And for all of these Bachelor alums that I've met to be able to have the strength and endurance to do it, like I'm in awe of you guys. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, final headline, the fun one that we wanted to read. EW just ranked the Bachelorette seasons. They ranked them in this order. Tristan, number one. Ashley, your thoughts?
Okay, so I didn't watch Tristan's season. I mean, I was like 14 when that aired, so I don't really know.
Sounds like it was a great season, though. It ended in love and marriage and kids, and it was a huge season. Caitlin, number two. I would like to take credit for that since I was on that season.
I think you are able to take partial credit for that. Love Caitlin's season. I agree. It was my favorite season too. If my husband wasn't on it, still would have been my favorite Bachelorette season. Fantastic cast, fantastic lead. Heck yeah.
That was a great season. Jillian was number three, which I did not see, but did you see it?
I did not see it. I started watching it Allie's season, so.
Yeah, so Jillian Harris got number three. So it went Trista, Caitlin, Jillian. Listeners, write us in your favorite seasons of The Bachelorette. We want to hear them. We want to hear from you, and that's always fun to do. So write us in. Let us know. Ashley, that's all we got for everybody today. It's been a great episode of Almost Famous Podcast. I will not be here next week. I promise you that. I will not jump back on. I'm going to be gone, but you're going to hold down the fort.
You're going to be on your honeymoon.
Heck yeah.
Your honeymoon. Wow. That's some stuff that we can't talk about on air. But
oh, baby.
We hope that you have a fantastic time. All right.
All right. Well, hey, with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.